ask, as I mentioned this morning, that you'd open our eyes to your words. And I pray you'd help us to be in awe of thy word, and that we can see truths out of your words and know how to apply them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so far, chapter 1, numero uno. So, so far in this chapter, we've discovered that doctrinally speaking, this is Jewish, the religion of Judaism. So when James is actually writing this before Acts 12, unless he miraculously wrote after he got martyred, and so when he wrote this before Acts 12, then he's writing prophecy. He's actually writing prophecy about the end times. But how would they receive it back then? Well, they received it just like anything else. You try to apply what you can. If you don't understand something, you ask the Lord to explain it to you. And if the Lord doesn't want to, you just move forward. And that's how you should handle the Bible today. Mark Twain said, the things in the Bible that bother me are not what I don't understand. It's what I understand. And that is so is still true today. So in James chapter 2, okay, so James, he says, my brethren. Okay, so if this is James and John, the two brothers, remember of the apostles, there are three sets of brothers. And if Alphaeus is the same man of Matthew and James, there were two sets of two brothers and one set of three brothers. But it looks like there's three sets of two brothers. Okay, because, you know, Alphaeus in those days is quite a common name. So it's kind of hard to pin down. And so when he says, my brethren, he is writing not as brothers in Christ. He is writing as kin in nationality. Okay, and it's like the blacks will say, hey, bro. Okay, and so they're dealing with nationality is what they're dealing with. Okay, so my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Okay, respect of persons. We live in a culture, practically speaking, we live in a culture that you're supposed to respect my beliefs. Everybody's entitled to their beliefs, and you got to respect me. Okay. No, the Lord said in Leviticus 26, verse 9, he had respect to Israel when Israel did right. Respect is not something that is automatic. Respect is something that is earned. Okay, with man, you know, with equality man versus man, okay, with children and parents, I don't think the right word is respect. I would say it's honor. Okay, but still, to have respect of persons, this is what is called having favoritism. Okay, a person gets a deal, cuts a deal, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And James is saying, in this context, that's not right to do, to have respect of persons. Just because this person's white, or this person's black, or this one's brown or whatever, it doesn't mean that they should be treated differently. We try to look at everybody individually. Okay, now granted, I know if you're in Gary and it's dark at night and you just see teeth coming at you, big white teeth coming at you, you're obviously going to be nervous. Jesse Jackson said one day, he said, it's a terrible time in America when you can be walking down a dark street and you hear footsteps beside you, and then you stop and look behind you and you see a white man and breathe a sigh of relief. Jesse Jackson said that. Are they going to blast that on the media as racism? He is telling on his race. Okay, but the idea here is, you know, we try to give each individual their just due, okay? In other words, be colorblind, okay? As far as people, deal with people individually. The idea when society puts us in categories, that is socialism, It is socialism. Rights for gay rights, women rights, blacks rights. Okay, that's socialism is what that is. And so we try to treat everybody. I mean, you just come up to somebody, you don't know them, just treat people with kindness. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Okay, now if you find their hand is in your back pocket, then okay, you got to do something different on something like that. So he's talking about people getting special privileges, and of course, white privilege, no such animal. That's what James is aiming at, and he's going to bring it down into the difference between a poor individual and somebody wealthy. So that's what he's comparing, okay, with respective persons. And then he says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Okay, so that's that idea, is treat people equally as best you can. And then when you get to know a person, then your respect can be up and down. And that still doesn't mean that you're rude to people. Okay? And so the respect is equal. Okay? Men tend to think, oh, I'm the head of the wife, and that he, you know, she's lower below him. Okay? Several years ago, we had a funny experience in Rensselaer. There's this black guy and this porter and a Mexican gal from St. Joe College came to Rensselaer. Remember that, Jan? And they interviewed me. I felt important. It was a class assignment for St. Joe College. And so I'd written a couple of things in the letters to the editor, and they published everything I wrote. And so yeah, I was kind of blasting this and blasting that. It was kind of my younger days. And so they come in, and the first thing, he sits down and she sits down, he says, are you a racist? And I said, what's that? And so we went from one question to another. And Jan and I was really laughing about it later. She thought, oh, we should have did this. We should have had her walk into the office with a rug over her head, barefoot, and say, is there anything you want me to do, dear? We really could have had some fun with it. But I noticed in this interview that whenever she wanted to change the topic, she'd put her hand on his leg, and then, boy, he would just like that, change the topic. Man, I couldn't let that go. So about 30-some minutes, and I asked him what the word prejudice mean, and he said fear and ignorance. I said, come on, look in the dictionary. It don't mean that. You're in college. Prejudice means judging beforehand. Well, it means fear and ignorance. I said, what's your goal in life? The girl said, I'm going to be a journalist. I said, you're on a good start with that. You know, just think what you believe. Make it up. And so after I noticed whenever she would change, she put, and I said to him, I said, you're going to let her tell you what to do? He said, what do you mean? I said, every time she puts her hand on your leg, you change the topic. And he goes, well, I'm old man. I said, don't look like it to me. I called his hand. You see, because I can see who's running the show. Now, here's a problem with insecure men. If they're going to try to say, I'm the head of the wife. Yeah, but who's the head of Jesus Christ? Doesn't the Bible say the Father is? But didn't Jesus say he was equal to the Father? Ouchie. She has a brain too. Okay, and the thing is there is a hierarchy, but there's an equality. And there's a fine line in there. There's a very fine line. And the thing is you know, she's got an opinion, and we ought to listen to that. And so forth and so on. But I don't know how I got on that. I think my wife told me to say that. Okay, and so... but the idea... Okay, can you imagine this? Okay, James, 2,000 years ago, writing this down, he writes... Of course, he's writing Hebrew or Greek or whatever. And then when the translators came across it, they wrote the word gay in verse 3. You know what gay meant back in those days? Happy. Cheerful. I think this is a prophecy that somebody is corrupt, who is rich, who's going to take control of the judicial system, is wearing gay apparel. And I think it's a prophecy of the Bible telling us who's running the court systems. And is that not a fact? The South Bend has a mayor that's a homosexual running for president, and they're treating him like a rock star. Why? He's gay. No, he's not. He's not a cheerful individual. Gays aren't gay. And so if we look at the Bible doctrinally, the James and the King James translators probably, why do we write that word down? And the Lord down the road says, guess what? Some corrupt people are going to take this good word and change it. Good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. In the abortion world, what do they have? They have pro-life and pro... Should it not be death? Or pro-life or anti-life? Why do they say pro-choice? Because then the truth be known. And boy, these people are upset. So these states are coming out strongly against abortion. Praise the Lord. But boy, it is putting a line in the sand. And we're seeing what these people are all about. So, gay clothing. He weareth gay clothing. That is telling me that's a prophecy. Okay, that's a prophecy. Okay, and it's coming into the trip. Now, as we keep reading, okay, you'll see in verse 4, he mentions judges of evil thoughts. And then it says, hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats. So he's dealing with the court system. Who's running the court system in the tribulation time period? It's going to be people who wear gay clothing, as the Bible foretold. Okay, so let's try Ezekiel 16:49. Okay, 16:49. These are the four sins of Sodom. And if you talk to the average Bible reader, what were the sins of Sodom? They're going to obviously say the sin of sodomy, okay, the sexual act. But in the Bible, it doesn't even mention that. That is an outcome of something deeper. What's deeper? Ezekiel 16:49, but this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Pride. They even call it gay pride. Pride. But pride is not harmful just to the sodomite crowd. Pride is harmful to the heterosexuals too. It's harmful to every one of us. Pride. Pride, and then fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness. And is in her and her daughter. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Okay, but the left-wing agenda is usually this agenda, and they always brag about supporting the poor and downtrodden, but they don't do it individually. They do not take care of it. I remember years ago when Al Gore was running for presidency, and they had to give their tax statements or something like that, and his contributions to charity was $500. And I guarantee that guy never gave a buck or two to a panhandler, to anybody. I guarantee that guy never gave a dime to somebody who was poor. And now he's traveling the world, you know, this great expert on climate change. While his house down there in Nashville, Tennessee, east of the city of Nashville, is running a $32,000 electrical bill as he flies from place to place concerned about greenhouse gases. What a hypocrite. Okay, and so in the tribulation time period, as we're leading up to it, this transgender and homosexual agenda is not going to back off. And when these people get in positions of authority, they watch for their own. Okay, and so the Lord is talking about, okay, rich, poor. And then in verse 5, now in verse 5, if the idea is correct that James is a doctrinal letter about the tribulation time period, then what is going to follow the tribulation time period? Verse 5, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Because the kingdom follows the tribulation time period. Isn't the Bible amazing? You see something like that? Man, the Lord just throws that right in there, and often you could overlook that. They are the inheritors of the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, when they go into after the tribulation, second coming, judgment of the nations. So in verse 6, ye have despised the poor. Okay, what's upsetting as far as the political agenda goes, what the left-wing agenda cannot handle is black conservatives. This Candace Owens, Larry Elder, if you find anything in Larry Elder, man, he is a very articulate man. Thomas Sowell, or Sowell, I think. Sowell, I think, is how he pronounces his name. Okay, these very conservative, boy, do they get harassed by the left-wingers. They can't handle those Uncle Toms, they call them. You know, and it's like this one person was blasted. This was a radio show, and this lady was talking about this one guy. He said, that's because you got white privilege, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, oh, by the way, I'm a black man. How did I get white privilege? I'm a black man. And so it's just amazing what's going on. They despise this Candace Owen. If you heard her testimony in the Senate, she says, you Democrats want us to stay poor. And she's right. And that was humorous how she handled it. She did a great bang-up job, and the Democrats are just going bonkers on that. Okay, so ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats. Okay, so that's in the court setting. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. That's right, they do blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. And they don't bat an eye on that. And the thing is you know, when you bring up certain things in court, you know, get them to kind of blaspheme the Lord and just say, Lord, you heard that, didn't you? You know, that's what I did when I was in court cases. I would bring in a motion to recognize, take judicial notice of the King James Bible. And then I would cite several documents about that. And then the judge would have to deny my motion. I would just say, Lord, you got wind of that, didn't you? I just wanted him to do that publicly. You know, and so just that's what they're doing. And then verse 7, it says, if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. That's a hard command, is it not? Love your neighbor as yourself. Very difficult. Okay, royal law, we can see that he is summarizing the first and second commandment. Okay, in this regards, he's summarizing the commandment we are to display towards others. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well, but if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So that's giving special privileges to a party because you know somebody, because you know somebody, he knows somebody, okay? And He's calling that an outright sin. Okay, so in verse 9, so that's the, he's running it from 1 through 10 on this one idea about special privileges. And whenever anybody talks about equal rights, mark it down, they are not asking for equal rights, they are asking for special privileges. That's what always they're doing. They're always wanting special privileges at somebody else's expense. Okay, so that always needs to be pointed out to people. Okay, who's going to pay your bill? Okay, it's kind of funny. Has anybody seen Mark Dice on YouTube? Mark Dice, besides David? He's a conservative, but he is a contemporary Christian. But he actually gets on and takes these surveys, and it's in San Diego, California, so he's got some really funny ones. And so he'd actually get people to sign a petition to tax a 1% tax because you have white privilege. And he's getting some white folks excited. They're willing to pay 1% tax, and then they're going to distribute it out to black folks who don't have this privilege. And these black guys, I'll sign up, like that. I mean, it's downright hilarious. And that proves they're not looking for equality. They're looking for special favors at somebody else's expense. Okay, so then verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Okay, so that's a tough one there. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. In this context, he is equaling that to displaying respect of persons. Because that's where the world's heading. The world is heading to give special privileges to the transgender movement. And they will get special political favors because that's where the Antichrist wants to push it. That's where it's going. And the Bible's got these things laid out. And it says the Antichrist doesn't, he has no regard to women. So he's either or he's who. You don't know what he is. And it's heading that way. And you know, as a believer, we can get discouraged or we can get excited. Because it's an example. It's a sign the Lord's coming back. Okay? And we still resist. Okay? We still, the Lord wants us to occupy till he comes. And the Lord said to his apostles, you got to be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. And the reason why he tells them that, because they live in a very similar environment than we're living in today. That's why Jesus said, this is an evil generation. You want to see a description of that generation he's talking about is I'll get it the third time around, Proverbs chapter 30. I washed my mouth out with soap and I can't do a thing with it. Okay, Proverbs chapter 30. This is a description of the last generation of actually Israel, or it's going to be the tribulation or the generation during the ministry of Jesus. And it's going to be the generation prior to the second coming or the rapture, again, which leads into the tribulation. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Okay, many of these Proverbs and the Psalms will doctrinally be writing towards the tribulation, second coming. And he says this in verse 11, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Okay, the next one, same generation. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Next one, there's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. Arrogant? Oh, are they arrogant? And the last one, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. That's the generation that's going to hit the trib. And those people are going to be so bloodthirsty, violent, they will kill their own parents for a nickel. And that's the generation where we're starting to see glimpses of. We really are starting to see glimpses of. If a person focuses on that, you can be discouraged. But if we recognize this Bible is an amazing book, and we recognize that God sees what's going on, and we just do the best we can and pray and try to help folks through the process. Okay, so in verse 11 and 12, now he's going to say, okay, you violate this principle, respect of persons, the Lord says you're a violator of the law, even though you didn't commit adultery, you may not even committed murder, but if you show respect of persons, the Lord doesn't approve of that. So verse 12, he says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now that's kind of a verse that can sit on its own merit. Okay, but okay, verse 13, this is dealing with God dealing with a person who is committing the sin of respect of persons. But how will this person respond when God exposes their sin to them? How will they respond, or how will they respond maybe if somebody else committed this sin? How will they respond to that? So verse 11, for he shall have judgment. He, God, shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. Okay? A dad, strict disciplinarian. Kid violates something. Dad comes down hard on him. I mean, even when the kid confesses him, comes down hard on him. God in heaven, is that how he wants it to work? Okay, so let's see, he did that to his kid, even though his child confessed. Okay, so the next time he does, I think I'm just going to whack him on the head like he did that. The Lord watches that. You know, and watch that person. You ever been around somebody and they say, I hope nobody in here says this, but I'm just a person that speaks my mind. When somebody says that to me, I say, I better be careful what I say, because they are going to be sensitive. They speak their mind, but they don't like it when you speak your mind back to them. This is where the Bible says, judge not, be not judged. And the idea of that statement is that we're not supposed to not judge. It's not a prohibition against judging. He is speaking that to a hypocrite. He is saying that when you judge somebody, you better take back to you the same judgment. If you can dish it out, you better take it back. And I'm not saying that a parent should always display mercy. There's a balance on everything the Lord has, and you have to ask God for wisdom. He shall have judgment without mercy that hath no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So if the Lord directs a parent where a child's done wrong and they fess up, then if the Lord directs a parent, you should have mercy. And a parent doesn't have mercy, God's going to bring that back on the parent. Say, next time you mess up, I'm not going to have mercy on you because you didn't display mercy. You reap what you sow. And if you have mercy, then God. It's almost selfish, but yet you want to do what you need to do for the best for your child. Okay, there is forgiveness, but there's punishment. Okay, if a parent is too permissive, a child will think the world owes him a living. What's that tell about the last generation? Dr. Spock, permissive parents, the generation that comes up thinks everybody owes them a living. If a parent is too strict, The child will think, everybody's against me. The whole world's against me. And they'll be fighting all the time. Never stop fighting. Okay? And so what God wants us to do is have a balance. Okay? Where he says in Psalms, he says, the Lord will not always chide with him. You know, when his children do wrong, the Lord's not going to chew them out every single time. The Lord has mercy. Okay, and there's a fine line. I believe that a parent that has a fine line is their child in their heart knows that my parents, my dad, my mom, are my friend. But I don't cross that line of disrespect. There's a fear there, but there's a love there. And you try to keep that balance. If it's too much on the fear side, okay, we're out of balance. And of course, as a parent, you're going to be going side to side to side to side. And so the general idea is you want your best for your child. So what's best for them? In this situation, okay, there's got to be some sort of punishment. I forgive you. And when you forgive, you don't bring it back up again. It's done. Can you imagine if the Lord did not forgive us? Every single time, you know, you confess your sin. Oh, the Lord said, you forgot this one, that one. You remember that about 10 years ago? You really hurt me bad. God puts it under the blood. Thank God for that. Okay, and so there's a balance in verse 13, a balance in a leadership where they know you love them. Okay, but then there's time for mercy. So verse 13, we try to seek that balance in life, but the Lord is watching. The Lord is watching. How? As a leader, as a parent, he is watching how we react to issues where we've been disappointed or things aren't going the way we want them. And so the Lord says, he, the Lord, shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. So then verse 14, he gets into a little bit different idea. He gets into salvation or righteousness issues between the Old Testament and New Testament. And remember that James had not, he died in Acts 12. He was a martyr in Acts 12. So Acts 15 is where Peter and company figured out the changes into the New Testament. So James is still operating before that conclusion. And that's why he writes it in verse 14. So we'll pick up verse 14 all the way down to 26 and go through that difference between this and Romans 4. Okay, we'll stop there and pray. Lord, I do thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And I do ask and pray that you'd help us parents to know a balance and help us above all to love and want the best for our children. And Lord, I pray you'd give us direction. And us older generation, us parents and grandparents, that we'd be praying for the youth because of the extreme pressures that they're under. Okay, and I just pray you'd help us to follow your lead and to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.